I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're the kids in America. Is that the same song?
Yeah, Kids in America.
We're the kids in America. Oh, everybody watching my baby around. We're the kids in America. Oh. We're the kids in America. Oh.
This is season 2, episode 36 of Ruthie, Me and My Dad, the 74th episode in all, and we've reached a bit of a climax, really, because next week we're not doing one while you...
It's only taken 74 hours.
Yes, but think about when...
To get to the dramatic
you were a small,
arc.
You were just a child when we started, and now here you are.
It's going a year off, and a half younger.
Going off to...
And you were sprightly.
Yeah, sprightly. Going off...
I definitely didn't think we'd still be doing it, you know.
Yeah. Well,
I thought we'll do this for 4 weeks max. Mm.
Well, we'll see what your schedule is at university, and then hopefully we'll return the week after next. Last week, and we've got quite a few emails about last week, we were talking about your wobble, how, you know, you weren't sure you wanted to go, and you were uncertain about your future generally, which I suppose would be natural at this turning point. And
but do you see how nicely the turning point in the podcast reflects the turning point in our lives?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, well done.
It's as if we planned it.
As if we planned it, yeah. One of my friends, I won't, no names here, but one of my friends wrote to me saying he understands, you know, because he's got somebody the same, he's got a child the same age as you, and there were wobbles, etc. But she finally started at Manchester University. I took her down at the weekend. Sunday night she got drunk, even before, I hope this is not going to be you, Sunday night she got drunk, even before her hall mates went out, and then threw up. Monday she renounced her alcohol and bought a bike. Tuesday, she lost her bank card and had to work out how to cancel it, order a replacement and get cash without one. Yesterday, she spilled a glass of water on her laptop and spent the day worrying it wouldn't work again. Then joined a gym, and she is the least sporty person ever. Anyway, the advice from my chum is that tell Ruth that every 18-year-old is shaky every day, as is every 30-year-old and every 49-year-old and every 70-year-old, etc. Thanks to him for that. And we've got a few. I got one or two tweets, and obviously I lost them because they're way down my Twitter feed now, but also saying almost exactly the same thing, that it wasn't something, you know, being shaky as you were last week wasn't something to worry about too much.
No.
Should we start?
Yeah.
Just to test the levels.
I feel like we should have a montage and Time of Your Life by Green Day.
Like Friends or Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a one-liner to test the levels.
Oh my God, we're still testing the levels.
We're still testing the levels. Apparently, smoking cannabis can affect your short-term memory. Well, if that's true, what do you think smoking cannabis does? Is from Mickey P. Kerr.
Yeah.
No.
No, it's okay.
So, just to update on last week, you're still a little bit wobbly, but...
Different wobbly. Now I'm just, like, nervous about going. I'm worried that no one will be friends with me.
Why do you think they might not be friends with you?
Because they might not think I'm cool, or they all might get on better together, and they just will hate me.
Well,
I'm always a little bit worried that everyone will hate me.
I know. But there'll be lots of people there... Who will be a single? They won't come with a bunch. Nobody comes with a bunch of mates to university.
No, I know. So but yeah, and everyone says this, everyone's in the same position or whatever, but you're still nervous that people are not going to like you. Everyone likes to be liked.
Well, of course everyone likes to be liked, and no, because you're bound to find people at university who are simpatico, you know, people at university who are much like you, yeah. Similar to you, similar attitudes. Yeah. I mean, you might find that a lot of them aren't quite as truculent as you are.
Truculent? What does that mean?
It means...
It's an insult? See, you've used a big word that I don't understand, so you can insult me without me knowing.
Does it mean opinionated?
Opinionated, yeah. Truculent. That's a good word, though.
So
you're truculent too.
Run me through how the week is panning out.
Well,
on Saturday, we're going to take you, or your mum's going to take you, because you don't want both of us there.
No, it's too much. Like, I'll get too, like, upset and stuff, because I know that a lot of people, both their parents go, but I'll just be too... I was surprised you're not in London, to be honest.
No, I'm not working.
Oh.
I've taken it off deliberately, so to university, yeah.
Oh, you shouldn't have bothered. But you still, I'll say goodbye to you on Saturday morning. I'm also only going to York, so it's not as big of a deal. You know, if you're dropping someone off in Glasgow or London or something, it's a bit more of a thing. Mm. Anyway, yeah, I didn't want both of you to go because I thought it would just be too much. Like, I think I'll be more upset about leaving home and, like, more homesick if it's made a big deal out of it. If it's just, like, we're just going to drop Ruth off, then I won't feel as weird about it. Going to IKEA today to go get some stuff for my room. Duvet, pillows, bed sheet, like a bin, like a lamp, some pots and pans, a rug.
What do you need pots and pans for?
Because I get breakfast and dinner. I'm in catered accommodation. Not that happy about it, but it's fine. We're working through it to make lunch. And if I want to cook as well, like I might do. And then that's really... I'll need to take some of the stuff off my walls in my bedroom to pack up to take with me. Then it'll be really real. And then I need to, you know, pack up all my clothes and stuff.
Mm. But as we said, you're only going to York, so...
Yeah, but it's still, like, moving... I always think about this. You go from being, like... Even if you're quite independent or whatever, you go from, like, living in a house with the people you've always known. I went to high school and college with some of the same friends that I've had since I was, like, literally 4 years old or younger. And also the people who live nearby, and they're, like, the same, you know, the people that you've had all these memories with and stuff. And you do that for 18 years of your life, and then you have about 2 months, and then they're like, here, go, like, move out of your house with people you've never met before, people who come from all over the UK. Do you know what I mean? All the people I've known live within half an hour of where I was born. And then you're not going to sit in a classroom anymore. You're just going to have lecturers. You're not going to be with any of the people you know. You're going to be with people who are from really different backgrounds to you, all different homes and stuff. You're going to be doing a different course.
How exciting is all that, though?
It is really exciting, but it's, like, incredibly daunting.
Mm.
It's such a big life change that they kind of just throw you in, I guess.
So
it's no wonder that so many people really struggle to adjust.
Mm. Well, you will struggle to adjust, no doubt about that.
And then there's also this thing of they have this Freshers Week, which I think is partly just to distract you from the fact that you've moved out by partying for a week or whatever and doing lots of keeping you busy.
Mm.
But there's all this pressure to make Freshers Week like this amazing week and stuff, and I think that's really counterproductive.
Yeah, we'll forget about that.
Yeah. I think, why would you have a really great week with people you barely know? Like, you're going to have a much better time the last week of your Freshers year.
Mm.
Because... You'll know people.
They'll
be your friends.
Mm. So it will be disconcerting. But I remember when I went to university a long, long time ago, when I got there, I did feel disorientated. But I was queuing up for something. It was during Freshers Week. I met these two guys who were from sort of similar backgrounds to myself. Tony from Preston and another guy, Mike, from York, actually, as it happens. And because I was up in Scotland... And it felt disorienting because everybody spoke with a Scottish accent. Mm. So I was the only person speaking with
that's
Northern
even more.
Accent. And I met a guy from York and a guy from Preston.
Did you talk like this? back in the day? Or were you
more Mancunian in those days. Not exactly Noel Gallagher, but fairly Mancunian. But at that point, you know, you settle down because you will meet people that you have lots in common with.
And
all that sort of
thing. No, and I kind of know I do. Like, I'm nervous, but not like unreasonable amount of nervous.
No.
But it still is it's a kind of a worry, you know, that you won't get along with your flatmates or something.
Picking up a foreign language.
Yeah.
You know, you'll be able to, you know, with a bit of luck, by the end of
the Spanish thing is, I've barely practiced my French over the summer.
No, I've noticed.
So I'm sure that first lesson will be really tough. I have been doing a bit more with the last 2 weeks.
Have you?
You don't see all the stuff that I do, Dad.
Well, I know that if I knock on your door and come into your room, I will hear the soundtrack to How I Met Your Mother or Friends or something like that.
It's not
but
true.
You're now attuned to it. You're going and...
Yeah.
You know, because you had it, even since you decided you were definitely going. After, first of all, you told us you weren't going. Then you say you definitely were going. There's still been wobbles after them, but you're not... You're just nervous.
Yeah, I'm just nervous. Yeah.
Which is like excitement. You're nervous is a form of excitement, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose.
And when we sort of reversion the podcast, if you like, the week after next, you'll keep us in touch with everything you're doing.
Rebrand.
We'll rebrand it.
It'll be more. I'll talk a lot about what went on in the what goes on in the weeks. What I'm feeling, and it'll be more.
Definitely.
We'll more about student life. Right. I want to talk about, like, diet culture.
Diet culture, yeah.
Yeah, so, and, you know, these, they're not even diet, they're, like, more like lifestyle bloggers and stuff, and people who have eating, I don't even know what the word would be, because it's not a diet, but when you choose to, like, completely go without sugar or go without gluten or go without
so
carbs.
Eating regime.
Yeah, regime. So there's a woman called Sarah Wilson who quit sugar, and she now, like, loves to eat chocolate. And anyway, it's a whole thing. But someone was talking about the woman who invented I Quit Sugar had an eating disorder for a decade. And the woman who said this was like, I struggled writing this as it feels very uncomfortable to expose another woman, but I felt someone has to in aid of the thousands of followers who replicate her eating. And obviously, you don't want to replicate someone's eating who's had an eating disorder or had, you know, problems with eating or dangerous behaviour when it comes to eating. And so I thought it was really interesting how when with all these like diet culture things and all these recommended like nutritionists and stuff, they don't have to have passed any exams. You don't have to be an actual nutritionist to then recommend to thousands and thousands of people the way that you eat food. And quite a lot of these like diet culture people are people who promote cookbooks with recipes without carbs or whatever have all had like dangerous eating habits or eating disorders in the past, and then other people copy their diets. I think it's really terrible.
I think you're right. I mean, I think the thing to do is not follow any diet, any sort of fad diet, if you like.
Yeah. There's such... I feel like people are so focused on what you eat at the moment as well. And cutting out whole food groups, I think, is the worst thing. Mm. And it's such a... It is like a dangerous eating habit, disordered eating behaviour. That's what it's called, disordered eating. To say, oh, I never eat sugar. Like, if you're saying that you never eat something, it's probably not a healthy behaviour at all.
A lot of diets.
And it's always young girls who are like massive followers of these people.
Mm, well, 75, we're talking influencers, aren't we?
Yeah. It's this like blogger and influencer thing where you don't have to be qualified in anything. No. To say, sugar's the worst thing in the world, don't eat sugar.
Yeah. Most diets focus on not eating carbs, which is apparently a very easy way to lose weight. If you cut out carbs from your diet altogether, you will lose weight.
Yeah.
But there are whole other loads of dangers that come with it.
Yeah, you need it for energy.
Yeah.
Like, you do need carbs.
I think the thing to do is... ignore most... Well, I've always said, and I've said this probably on this podcast, any health advice that you read in a popular newspaper If you get the health section of the Daily Mail, pluck it out of the paper and put it in the bin, because virtually anything in that section will be nonsense. And most stories that you read in the popular press, and obviously
I think it's these influencers who are the worst in the world.
Well, because people are, unlike yourself, people aren't reading newspapers, because we know you read a newspaper last week. Therefore, they
I did the puzzles.
They're getting a lot of advice from.
Yeah.
Just to ignore it.
It is hard to ignore, though, because then you also see, like,
the pictures of... bad for you.
Yeah, but you see the pictures of these, like, girls who are always, like, absolutely gorgeous, and then they say, I quit sugar, and, like, look at me now, or whatever, and you think, oh, maybe if I quit sugar, I'd look like that, and it's hard to completely evade these things.
There is the actual quitting of sugar. There are, there are sort of respectable people who, proper medical
people
who say quit sugar.
It's hard to do it properly. That's all.
Yeah, it's very hard to do. So, how far are you in to Margaret Atwood's book, Testament? Is it Testament?
I'm about halfway through, but probably just past halfway, maybe.
Is it worthy of all the
hype?
It's
really, really brilliant, completely worthy of the hype. I don't want to talk about it too much, because I want to talk about it after I've finished it, which I definitely will have by the next podcast, because having a week off. And I hear freshers, you get a lot of time to read.
Do you? Well, it'd be good to get you reading again. Because
I was kidding.
Your chilling period.
No, I've been reading quite a bit, but I've not got any, like, proper recommended reading for my course, because it's languages. I don't have, like, a big reading list, really, which is weird.
No, will you have to read... You'll obviously have... There's no point in reading Maupassant in translation.
No, not in translation, there's no point. No. But I don't think there's some like books of like short stories and stuff that are like there.
Maupassant short stories.
Yeah, so that would be like
short, and they won't take long to read.
That would be like what I would be trying to read. But there's some books on that recommended reading thing that I looked at them, and I looked at the they give you that like taste a bit on Amazon or whatever. And I looked at it and I was thinking, bloody hell, I cannot read that. Or like I could read it, but it would take me a day to read four pages. Like some of them are really hard. I can't remember what... I can find the reading list and tell you what the books are if you
Marcel
want.
Marcel Proust, À la recherche du temps perdu. I've read the titles of a lot of books. I've not actually read the books.
But The Handmaid's Tale is completely living up to expectations. It's brilliant. Really,
well, The
really
Handmaid's
good.
Tale was written in 1985.
Oh, not The Handmaid's Tale, The Testaments.
Yeah. The Handmaid's Tale...
The Handmaid's Tale 2.
The Handmaid's... So a long time between... Did she write anything in between?
She's written loads of books.
Yeah.
She's written tons of books. Mm. I've read Alias Grace, which was really good.
Oh, right, so the other books are worth reading.
Yeah, really good. I really liked Alias Grace. I've not read any of the others, I don't think.
Yeah, there's a piece in the Times by Alice Thompson where she was writing actually about The Handmaid's Tale. Basically, she was talking about the midnight launch of The Testaments. So a lot of people dressed up, didn't they, in the Handmaid's Tale outfits to go and buy the book, The Testaments. And she went to this launch. So there were green drinks and talks on how to embroider feminist wall hangings. Have you thought of embroidering feminist?
You know, I saw a tweet that someone was on a plane and someone was embroidering on, you know, like an embroidery hoop, eat a bag of dicks.
Really?
And they had like a picture of it. And I thought that was quite brilliant. Yeah, I'd do some feminist embroidery. That'd be quite fun.
Well, that's feminist embroidery, is it?
That's feminist embroidery, yeah.
Yeah. Is it? And where's that come from? Has that come from The Handmaid's Tale?
What?
Feminist embroidery.
No. I think just they are made to embroider and stuff in The Handmaid's Tale because that's like a woman's job and stuff.
Mm.
And so then The Handmaid's Tale is a feminist book, and obviously, you know.
Anyway,
it's funny.
She writes, since I read The Handmaid's Tale as a student 33 years ago, women's rights have progressed only to regress. Having attended a mixed sex school, I knew women were obviously as brainy as men. The girly swats were far more ambitious with our colour-coded notes. There was no need to be a feminist. The Handmaid's Tale was a terrifying fantasy, and the next century was already ours. However, she says we've regressed now from the progress.
Well, that was because, like, in the 80s when she wrote it, she felt that things were regressing with, like, the backlash against feminism and stuff, and then she felt like things were regressing again when she wrote the Testaments in 2016. Do you think things are?
Only in the, I mean, I think publicly they are, in the sense that we have Trump and his sort of grabbing by the pussy thing, and we have Boris Johnson and his various big girls' blouse and girly swat and all that. So I think on the surface things are regressing, because you have Trump and Johnson as the, you know, the two leaders who are most prominent to us here, whereas in the past you might have had Obama and Cameron.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Some interesting emails this week, Ruth. Howard Raucus, who's written to us before, as always, he said, I enjoyed the latest podcast. However, I have to agree with Ruth on the lyrics to Jolene. The song could certainly be interpreted as the singer being insecure or feeling inferior, but to another woman, Jolene. It would also work if it was a man singing the same song about another man, Jolene, perhaps. It could also be interpreted as a feminist song, because it highlights that a man is likely to fall for a woman solely on physical attraction. I don't agree with all this, but this is what he's saying. I can't see anything in the song that would question female equality, only personal insecurity and male shallowness.
I agree.
Anyway, he enjoyed Dion DiMucci. Howard's a bit of a music nut. He enjoyed the Dion DiMucci track that I played, which you can you find the whole thing on Spotify?
Yep.
Excellent. I enjoyed hearing Dion. As your feature, I travelled to New York last summer, or he puts New York last summer, just to see him play. He's 80 years old, and I would have regretted it if I never saw him perform. Superb, apparently, 80.
Wow.
Still performing, sounding nowhere near his age, his voice in great shape, and he looked 20 years younger. Good luck to Ruthie at university. Whatever path she takes will be the right one, says Howard Raucus.
Well, that's
a lot
nice.
Of faith in you there, Ruth. Personally, I hope she becomes a broadcaster and keeps us entertained for many years. I too have a daughter that's younger than me. Isn't that amazing? What a coincidence. Who's just completing a PhD and becoming something of an expert on poet Philip Larkin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
She is also my reserve moral compass in these interesting times. Martin Davis says, hi, Ruth. Did your career choice influence your course choice at uni?
No.
Okay.
Don't know what my career choice is yet.
Hugh Besant says, hi, Martin, Ruth. A very moving episode this week, as Ruth had her wobble. One thing I know for sure, Ruth, is that the decision you're taking right now is not even on the magnitude scale. It seems important now because this is the most daunting thing you've faced and you think you're taking life-changing decisions. The truth is you're not. You have all the time in the world, which more or less...
I do agree that you do have all the time in the world, but it is still an important choice, though.
Yeah, it's important, but not earth-shattering, I don't think.
It is a big decision. I don't like to...
At the end of the day, you're 18 years old.
Yeah.
You're 18 years old, your whole life's in front of you. Your whole life's in front of you. I dropped out after a year, did something entirely different. Your brother dropped out after 6 months, did something entirely different. Your important life choices are yet to come, put it that way.
But then again, like, it does affect your life, though. You know, it affects the people that you meet. But I'm sure there's a statistic that, like, 2 out of every 3 people meet their future spouse at university or whatever. Like, those kind of things, it's a snowball thing.
He says on his email, my son decided not to go to uni and got a decent job instead. I keep telling him that if he... And a couple of your friends are doing apprenticeships, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Quite amusing.
Oh, they told some funny stories about in their office and stuff.
Because I thought it was quite amusing that one of you...
Oh, one of them. Oh, no. I don't know whether I can say this, though. Well, hopefully no one will know. So she was saying... The office is full of, like, quite a lot of older people, and she doesn't really have any...
What's the apprenticeship in?
Oh, it's, like, business or something. Right. I don't know. And she's sat in the office all day, and she doesn't always... They were both saying that neither of them really get enough to do. Like, a lot of times they just sat there and, like, don't know what to do. One of them was saying that she messages her mum on LinkedIn all the time because they're allowed to have LinkedIn up. That's the only thing. So she, like, gossips about her other co-workers on LinkedIn to her mum, which you just think is hilarious. Mm. And then she was saying there's only really one other person who she gets on, like, all right with in the office. And she's like, yeah, he's really nice and, you know, he's all right to chat to. And then she just, like, burst into fits of laughter and we're like, what is going on? And she's like, yeah, no, he's really, like, he's all right, he's pretty normal, but he just has the biggest arse. And then I was like, what, like, he's fat? And he's like, no, he's, like, really slim, but he's just got this really plump arse. Which she just thought was really funny.
Yeah. Anyway, my advice, this is Hugh's advice, my advice for the very little this is worth is be happy. Do what you want to do if you can, because if you don't, you might regret it. And let me finish on an old man rant. Student debt is a myth. You don't pay it back until you're earning a significant sum, and even then it will probably not cost much more than you pay for your mobile or Netflix or Spotify every month. Most of the debt is never repaid. It's just a worry to hang around your neck and weigh you down.
Mm.
Which is true, although I think you've sort of got... It is a worry, isn't it? Knowing you're going to come out with you... Because people say it. That's what worry...
It's a worry because... Other people say it,
yeah.
But like Martin Lewis, who's the like money saving guy, he's always like, people need to stop referring to it as a debt and a loan and stuff. Like it's just counterproductive and it's completely stupid and it's used as a way to discourage people from low income backgrounds from going to university. And it's completely wrong that they do it. And it's not a debt. You'll have to pay it back very, very little. Most people never pay the full amount back. Stop worrying about it.
Yeah.
Because it's not useful and whatever, but people do say it all the time, so then you start thinking, and then also you see these massive numbers. Like I got an email that was like, it said like £27,750 or whatever, and I was like, seeing that number is crazy.
See, that's more than you could ever win on Pointless.
Yeah,
do you know,
way more.
Yeah, if you watch someone on the telly win,
never win anything on Pointless.
No,
it's crap.
If you watch, no, people do win. But if you watch, I have to say that in deference to my friend Richard Osman.
No, people do win, but they win like. They'll be like, so what are you going to do with the money? Oh, well, we're planning a trip to Australia. And it's like £1,000 to split between the two of them. You wouldn't even get flights for £500.
No, you wouldn't.
Oh, if anyone's listening who works for Pointless, my idea, so in the final round, when they get, if they get, you get three chances at winning the jackpot, getting a Pointless answer. If their other one of their other answers or both of their other answers are Pointless, they should get an extra £250 on the jackpot to give them some incentive to get three Pointless answers rather than just the one that you need.
Good point. Very good point. I'll put that to Richard.
That is, I think that's the issue I feel the most passionate about.
In the world?
In the world, yeah.
Yeah.
The most passionate, more passionate than about feminist issues, about modern slavery, about clean water, climate change.
Yeah.
Those things were only second.
You want everybody to, if they come up with a Pointless answer in the final round of Pointless, to get an extra £250.
No, if you come up with an extra Pointless
extra
answer.
Pointless
the
answer.
First Pointless answer is just to win the jackpot. Then if you get second, you get an extra £250. If you get one after that, another £250 on top. So you could win £500 plus the jackpot.
Paul Evans says, afternoon both, great podcast, big fan. He says, I'm stuck in the middle at 30. He says, just a brief one, I had 2 years out before going to university for similar reasons for Ruth and worked. and it was the best thing I ever did. I also took a year out after second year to work again, as my closest friends at uni were, and that was equally very useful. Can't you find, Paul, can't you find something that you can stick at? He says, your course is obviously slightly important, but I couldn't tell you what I learned in the first 2 years in lectures. However, I grew up a lot and learned a lot about my identity. Go to university, but maybe not yet. Well, you are going, but just enjoy this time and keep up the good work, says Paul. And if you'd like to know how he finished up, he finished up as operations status at the bottom of his email. He's operations director at School Health UK and also vice chairman of the British Obesity Society. So how about that?
Interesting.
Yeah. If the British Obesity Society, you like to think once a year they have a Christmas do with a buffet, but you're wondering what would be on the buffet. Just
did you see the adverts they did? It was looked like a cigarette packet, and then it said obesity kills too, or whatever. It's a really brilliant advert. I don't know if that was the British Obesity Society, but if it was, that was
well done.
Good.
Well done, the BOS. And Stephen Hurst says, congratulations to Ruthie for talking so candidly about her university dilemma. I'm sure you'll make the right decision, whatever. Well, I think you've made the right decision. You're going, and it's going to be an interesting adventure in your life. Even though you're yawning, it is very exciting.
I'm yawning because I'm all thought out. It's a really tiring week for me.
I'm sure you'll make the right decision, whatever. I think Stephen's under the impression that you're maybe not going. He says, anyway, if you don't go, commiserations to Martin for having to delete her room from Airbnb. He says, love the podcast. Where can I rate or recommend it? Steve Hurst, old fogey, but not an old crony, he says. Now,
Apple Podcasts.
Yes, that's the best place, isn't it?
To comment and review Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts.
I'm not sure whether I can look on Spotify. You can share it on Spotify. So if there was just one person that you wanted to send it to, or you can share it. No, you can share it by tweeting it on Spotify. But if you want to leave a comment and a star review or whatever, then Apple Podcasts.
I'm delighted to see, Ruth, that as far as the music goes, you've returned to a bit of rap.
A bit more proper rap hip-hop.
Tell me what it is.
It's a song by Anderson .Paak. Who has been a while, baby, don't go there. Who has been a while, baby, come here. Shape like pear, baby, jet black hair. You bought the drinks and I paid no care. Hold a nigga down, don't go nowhere. Who has been a while, baby, come here. We peeking.
Anderson .Paak, .Paak spelled a strange way.
Yeah, but it's a song called Jet Black. I just said Jet .Paak because I was thinking Anderson .Paak. No, it's called Jet Black by Anderson .Paak featuring Brandy. Mm-hmm. But Anderson .Paak is the real artist on it.
How do you spell .Paak?
Okay, so you spell .Paak, P-double-A-K. So this is a guy from, he's born in 1996 and he's from Oxnard, California. Oxnard? Is that how you say that?
I think it is.
Anyway, but his real name is Brandon .Paak Anderson. That's his, and his real middle name is .Paak, P-double-A-K. So he's Anderson .Paak. And they've been really popular, whatever. They won the Best Urban Contemporary Album at the Grammy Awards.
What's it all about?
In 2018.
It's called Jet Black. Featuring Brandy is the title of the song. What, somebody's got jet black hair? Is that more?
I don't really know.
No, I couldn't make it out. I could make out the jet black hair. He keeps saying jet black hair.
Yeah, I think it might be just about just a girl or something like that. I don't know. And he's 33, which I always think is quite old for
rapper.
Do you know what I mean? Usually they're about 23.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's really cool, and I really like that song. So yeah.
Well, these people,
and that's from his newest album, which came out in 2019 called Ventura.
And these people that I'm going to play are more like 73. That was The Faces and Stay With Me. I gather you're familiar with that.
I know that song, yeah.
Mm. Well, you'll have heard it on the TV or
films? Or something, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, maybe films.
Do they do another song? Because I recognise their voices a
they
lot.
They do lots of other songs. That was Rod Stewart.
They're called Faces or The Faces?
The Faces.
The Faces.
I think they're called The Faces.
I think they're just called Faces.
Oh, they're just called Faces.
Yeah.
Yeah, Faces they're called.
Ooh La La, I think that's the one I know.
Well, they've done loads of songs. They've been revived several times.
I liked
times.
That bit a lot.
Well, I'm surprised you did, because you obviously weren't listening to the lyrics.
Stay with me.
Yeah, that's the chorus. But basically, he's saying to this... I take it's a one-night stand, and he's saying, I'll kick you out. Don't say you love me, I'll kick you out the door. And if you looked up the lyric, you'd find...
I don't mind it in songs. Songs are not... some stuff is just, like, gross. Like, there's some songs by rappers which are just, like... I can't remember, but there's a song and it's like, no means yes and yes means harder. Like, just like properly gross lyrics and stuff. But if that's something like that song or like Jolene, and they're just a personal expression of like feelings, you can't really get annoyed with them, I don't think.
No, well, that's very... See, rock stars, when you... and Rod Stewart. The reason I love The Faces, because it was Rod Stewart before he just became a joke. You know, Rod Stewart did become a joke. Do You Think I'm Sexy and Hot Legs and those various things that he did as solo singles. But when he was with The Faces, that was a band that included... There was an original band called the Small Faces, who were very big in the 60s, and then they just became Faces. Well, actually, I'm sure
they're just Faces.
I think they're The Faces.
No, I think they're just Faces.
Well,
I just looked them up.
Wikipedia?
No, I looked them up on Spotify. But
that's fair enough. On Wikipedia, there's just Faces, but Wikipedia isn't always right. Wikipedia makes mistakes.
Wikipedia makes mistakes.
Well, it does.
Yeah, they are just faces on Wikipedia.
Yeah, right, Faces. But they were originally the Small Faces, then they became Faces, and they were joined by Ronnie Wood, who's now one of the Rolling Stones, and Rod Stewart doing lead vocals with them. And they were your archetypal rock band.
Yeah.
People seem to have given rock bands a clean bill of health as far as sexual harassment and sexual assault and all that goes. And everybody says, if it's a TV personality from years ago, everybody says, oh, they were having sex with young girls or whatever. Eventually, they're sort of airbrushed from history. Jim Davidson, those sort of people. Airbrushed from history. And then there's various others. But the things that Led Zeppelin and Faces and even the Beatles used to get up to...
Oh, I'm sure that they had sex with underage girls who were about 15. Mm,
but everybody says, well, they're rock stars. And it's sort
of... it's not right, though. I think it's fine. I don't think we don't have to go on like a witch hunt after all these people. But
oh god, no!
Now when it's like these rappers, people like Drake and stuff, and they're talking clearly about like doing it with underage girls, if you're doing it now, you need to be called out about it.
Mm. No, I would agree with all those rappers. My view is, leave Rod Stewart alone and just go after the rappers. But I played that primarily to introduce a topic about what we should listen to. Well, and taking up Jolene last week as well. What's okay and what's not okay? Because there's a song called Melting Pot by Blue Mink. And I don't know whether you saw this story. It was a hit in the late 60s, early 70s, probably early 70s. And that song has lyrics. The idea of the song is that we should all be one big melting pot, so that everybody should, at the time, using terms that were current at the time, it said that, black people, what they called coffee-coloured people in the song, and white people, and they talk about little yellow chinkies or whatever. It's littered with...
Yeah, you see, that's wrong. That's not...
When you say that...
It's
littered with terms that are not acceptable now in 2019. However, I think...
Is it a good song?
Yeah, it is a good song. Madeline Bell is a brilliant singer. She was the lead singer the group Blue Ink.
That's kind of different to a song that's just kind of got outdated sort of views about stuff.
Well, this is
that's actively offensive to people.
Well, yeah, you say that.
And dehumanising.
Well, you say that and you may be right, but that's been banned anyway by Global.
There's so many songs in the world, though.
Yes, there are so many.
You don't need it.
Well, what do you need? Yeah, you don't need. That's why I will say to anybody who's writing a book, you know, Margaret Atwood, for instance, oh, there's too many books. You go into Waterstones, there are at least 25 books that you think, I must read that tomorrow. You just look at the back of the book. There's too many.
Just listen to other songs.
We don't need another book. We don't need. We don't need any more songs. We could shut down. We could shut down the entire cultural history of the world now, and there would be enough for us all to.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah, I suppose you're right. But
anyway, they banned. What I'm saying is, they picked on that one song to ban. This is Global. They may have done it for the publicity. They run a Heart and LBC and a few other radio stations. So. A lot of other radio stations, so Smooth as well. So they said they're not going to play it on Smooth, I think it was, where they said they wouldn't play it, where it might have got played. But there's a guy called Ben McIntyre who wrote a piece in The Times about all the other songs that are totally incorrect these days, but probably like Jolene, but he doesn't mention Jolene, but songs are totally incorrect these days in our sort of woke society. But don't you think we're intelligent enough to know it was written 30 years ago? For instance, In the Summertime by Mungo Jerry. Have you heard In the Summertime when the weather is...
Right.
So the lyric goes, have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find. If her daddy's rich, take her out for a meal. If her daddy's poor, just do what you feel.
That's outdated opinions about women and money and men, but they're not... They're not racist.
Well, let's see some others.
They're not racist. They're not offensive, and they're not.
Well, to have a drink, have a drive. To an impressionable mind, this might be taken as an inducement to drink driving, hunting down an impoverished woman, and doing whatever you want with her. We should instead sing, drink a glass of water, go for a bracing walk. If you dine with a person of means, offer to split the bill. But if your companion is of lower socioeconomic status, do not assume this makes them sexually available, which would be the woke version. But they haven't banned that record. The 1984 Band-Aid anthem, Do They Know It's Christmas?
Well, they changed that lyric, didn't they?
Have they done that?
They did the remake last year, the year before, they did it.
But the 1984 one still gets played.
Instead of Thank God It's Them... Instead of you reaching out, touching you or something.
Yeah, they did change it. They did change that one. I mean, this lyric hasn't been changed. And there won't be snow in Africa this Christmas time.
Yes, so there will be snow in Africa because it's a massive continent with many mountains.
Certainly is, and there's Kilimanjaro, which is in Tanzania, which is in Africa. So it, not only is it probably slightly offensive, but it's also inaccurate.
Yeah, it's just like geographically inaccurate.
And it says, where nothing ever grows, no rain or rivers flow, do they know it's Christmas time at all?
Yeah, also like the Nile.
This song appears to tell Africans they're lucky to be alive on a continent devoid of water, trees or joy. And the line in Greece, the song in the film Grease.
Oh, don't even get me started on Grease.
Did she put up a fight? That'll have to go, since it implies enforced sexual submission.
Still, none of these things are like really, really offensive. Mm. They're kind of just outdated.
What about Kung Fu Fighting? You know that song everybody wants?
Yeah.
You know
yes,
song?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So before you sing it.
I'll only do 3 seconds. 3 seconds. Although Kung Fu Fighting contains references to funky Chinamen. We never say Chinamen these days, although they used to. And funky Billy Chin and little Sammy Chung. So it would be a shame if Kung Fu Fighting disappeared from the... canon of songs you're allowed to listen to. Tammy Wynette's Stand By Your Man. If you love him, you'll forgive him, even though he's hard to understand. This must now be retitled Stand By Your Man, but only if he's prepared to stand by you in a relationship of strict equality. So The Faces, an example of that, although you very rarely hear The Faces, because it does imply this is, I'll kick you out the door. But you like the song. It's
I just don't. I
they were a good
don't
band.
Know where I
they
stand on all these things.
And
I
Rod
think
Stewart,
I can do without the melting pot.
I think we're sensible enough and mature enough to know that we don't refer to Chinese people as chinkies. Yeah, we know that.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a charm. And the thing about what I love about Melting Pot is, despite being hideously politically incorrect, it was slightly politically incorrect at the time, as I recall.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, if something is politically incorrect, I'm saying,
it was well-intentioned. The idea was, it was a song against racism written at a time when there was a lot of racism. The fact that, it's the naivety I like, the fact that they were writing this song saying, let's have a plea for us all to get together, and then all the racist, I find it amusing that they've used all these racist terms in a song pleading for racial equality and diversity, if you like, although diversity hadn't been invented yet in the late 60s, early 70s. So, Ruth, a new reality show.
Yeah, how I love reality TV.
Love reality show. The Circle.
Yes, watched The Circle last night.
I watched a little bit of it at the start before I got fed up.
The first episode of programmes like that are never that good.
Yeah, we're just meeting the people. What's The Circle is people... Well, tell me how it works.
So, they go and live in basically a block of flats, very aesthetically pleasing block of flats, but a block of flats all the same. And they go to this block of flats and they all get to communicate through this thing called The Circle, which is essentially a social media app. And they're competing to be ranked high by the other players. And then you have, like, influencers in The Circle and they'll get to decide... people who will be voted to leave The Circle.
And how are they ranked? More likes? Is it likes?
No, by each other. They just have to put each other first to seventh, and then there's various different twists and, like, ways that they'll vote and stuff, but that's essentially the thing, is it's who can be the most popular, but they never see each other face-to-face, so you can pretend to be someone you're not. You can pretend to be your son.
Because there's one woman pretending to be her son.
Yeah. And then there's one person pretending to be a woman with a baby. Yeah, so that's essentially how it works. But I do think it's really interesting. Last year, it was really good. It took ages to warm up. But
what makes it interesting?
Good, it
they're pretending to be other people.
That's what makes it interesting, with the people who are pretending to be other people. Mm. It's also just interesting seeing how people interact when they can't see each other.
And presumably the mix of the real people that they are, they're carefully selected. And I noticed they went for Zoe Ball's son is one of the contestants.
Yeah.
And you can win £100,000. You wouldn't think he needs £100,000, but you can
if
you're the most popular.
Must be kind of going on there because he wants a career in entertainment or something. He's only 18, though, my age.
I saw that.
And you and Zoe Ball, similar people.
Well,
so.
When I saw Zoe Ball's son there, I thought, nepotism. I think that's outrageous. Outrageous. She's putting her son into some kind... And he's...
He seemed quite sweet, though, actually.
And he's Fatboy Slim's son.
Yeah.
As well, obviously.
Fatboy Slim's son, Zoe Ball's daughter, Zoe Ball's son. How did that...
Yeah. So he's on there with... he's got this sort of entertainment background.
Yeah.
He should have a good chance, then, shouldn't he?
Yeah, it depends whether... I mean, if he says that to people... I doubt they'll think he's lying, because what a weird thing to make up. Do you know what I mean? If you're going to say you're someone's son, you wouldn't go Zoe Ball.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Because she's not quite famous enough.
If you
enough
were picking a famous...
person to pretend that
to
I was
be
their
the
daughter.
What would it be? Because you could pretend to be mine, and you'd get away with it.
Yeah, but they would be like, why are you telling me this? Yeah. Weird choice.
Whose son would you...
Whose son would I pretend to be?
Do anybody? Do people do that? Pretend to be a different.
And then there's one girl who's a lesbian, but she's pretending to be straight. Because she thinks that'll make her more popular as well, which is probably true.
Just to explain what The Circle is all about.
Yes, that's The Circle.
Why do you find it more interesting than any of the other reality shows? You know, Big Brother or Made in Chelsea. Or...
Well, Big Brother's rubbish. Right. For starters.
Why
Made in Chelsea's
brother?
Still great.
Yeah.
Made in Chelsea's constructed reality, though. They're different.
Made in Chelsea's a different thing. But The Circle and Big Brother, I don't see why The Circle...
Because there's the social media and they're not being able to see each other. And last year it was really good because it's this boy called Alex and he pretended to be his girlfriend, Kate, and had pictures of Kate and blah, 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 and he was pretending to be a girl the whole time. And then this boy called Dan clearly had, like, a bit of a crush on her and... Oh, him, but... He thought it was Kate. And then it's like they're real people and their feelings can be hurt, but they're also playing a game. Like, I think it's quite interesting. There's a lot of, like, elements to it and stuff.
So,
depends whether it'll be good. Do you know what I mean? It's one of those things where it rests on what happens. Like, it might be rubbish. But last year it got good.
But people, unlike Love Island, you know, where we've had suicides and things, people shouldn't get hurt because they're pretending to be other people. So,
yeah, but then, like, the people who aren't pretending to be other people,
because it's a popularity contest, they could get hurt if they're unpopular.
Yeah, and then, like, this boy, when they met,
slag each other off
when they met, that then when they found out that this girl was in fact a man who didn't fancy him at all and was like not interested, then. Like, that must hurt your feelings. You know, it's catfishing. Like, that can hurt your feelings.
How do you mean catfishing?
Pretending to be someone that you're not online. Right. That's what it's called, catfishing.
Yes, I think we've done that before.
Yeah, I think so. So, like, you can... The people who are real can get actually hurt, whereas the people who pretend to be someone else are kind of safe from that. You know, they're detached.
But good TV.
Good TV, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a clever programme idea. We'll see if it's good.
Yeah.
It's one of those things like Love Island that kind of it'll be good if the people are good and it'll be bad if not.
Yeah. And the other thing...
And Richard Madeley's on it.
Richard Madeley's on
he's
it?
He's going in there for 2 weeks to, like, stir the pot and he will be pretending to be someone else as well.
So many... Richard Madeley.
Oh, my God. How does he have time to eat and sleep and stuff? Well, he's literally on everything.
Well, he's on a lot of things. He's a bit like Ramesh Ranganathan. He's on... Now, Ramesh Ranganathan is on everything. I don't know how... He's doing a tour in the UK, and yet every time you switch on the TV, he's in Sri Lanka or, you know, up Mount Kilimanjaro. He's somewhere in the world. Every time you switch on the TV, doing a travel program.
Hard worker. So,
very hard working, very good comedian, very decent bloke. But
and this is the portion of the podcast where we praise Ramesh Ranganathan.
He's good. He's great. I like him. I know you had trouble finding a meme.
Honestly, Dad, it's thin on the ground.
Well, you say that. Maybe
no, genuinely. I look through Instagram literally all the time.
Yeah. So have we found anything?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be hilarious. Mildly amusing will do.
You know what's wild? Remembering that children hear things for the first time without context and are literally like, what? I just said see you later, alligator, to a 4-year-old, and I think it was the first time they had ever heard that. They froze in their tracks, looked at me completely bewildered, then replied, see you later, chicken, and kept walking. Someone else who's commented on it. My sister has a substitute teacher from the UK who said, cheerio, at the end of class. And obviously her response was, and Fruit Loops to you, before walking out the door to the bus.
Do you know?
Have you enjoyed that?
I enjoyed both of those. They were excellent. There you go. It's a crime with no victims. We can, if you want to get in touch with us, do send us the emails, because as you'll have heard this week, they bolster us up. And the address to send them to is?
martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. That's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. And one last time, for those of you who are hard of hearing,
it's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
And also, if you want to, while you're online, if you want to listen to the songs from this week in full and all the others from all the other weeks, then you can go over to our Spotify playlist, which is Ruthie, Me and My Dad.
Indeed.
Or Martin and Ruth. You can find either of those ways.
Way, and you can hear the horrifying lyrics of Stay With Me by Faces all the way through.
Thank you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.